Saving money on your entire roofing project now at Menards. Protect your home for years to come with Owens Corning Architectural Shingles. They offer long-lasting performance while providing ultimate protection with a 130 miles per hour wind rating and limited lifetime warranty. Choose from over 50 options of Owens Corning shingles in-store and on Menards.com. And check out more of our great deals going on now. Save big money at
Menards. Well, in this one-part show, Sheck comes out, and we get into a lot of super funny stuff. So be prepared to laugh. And then see Thomas Howell comes in, and we talk all about the Red Dawns and the ETs and the Outsiders and everything in between. And we'll do that right after this.
Hey, this is Dr. Drew, and I'd like to invite all of you to subscribe to the Dr. Drew podcast. We are very proud of what we're doing there at that podcast. I am interviewing some of the most interesting people you could ever want to talk to. Just whatever I find fascinating, whether it's a smart person or an expert in a field that I'm interested in, or maybe I'm not even interested in, I'm only interested because I've heard them speak and become intrigued, I think you'll be intrigued as well. We get deep into topics that are quite important to the current age. Things like cognitive dissonance, cognitive distortions, how does our mind work? We talk about everything at the Dr. Drew podcast that is of real relevance. We get all the way into deep physics and all sorts of stuff. But trust me, it's all very accessible. It's very interesting. Headaches, if you're even interested in learning about headaches, we get there. We go to the interesting topics of the day. Please join us at the Dr. Drew podcast.
From Corolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, actor C. Thomas Howell and Dave Damaschek. Plus the news with Chris Loxamana, and now, stay gold, pony boy, Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get on. I'm going to mandate you get it on. Looking forward to this show. Great Damaschek in studio.
That's No. Don't you do that. Don't you bury the lead. We got C. C. Thomas Howell, and from here on out, in honor of C, I'll thank you to call me W. David Damaschek.
W.
No, Dave Damaschek. We're not going informal today. No. Hey, mazel tov to you very quickly, Ace, and the whole gang. 14 years of podcasting.
Yes.
I really can't believe it, because I think I was on your second or third one out of your house on those leather chairs that you had in the old
house. Well, if you were on a leather chair, that was certainly in the first act of this 14-year show.
That 14 years, sheesh.
Thank you. I have important decisions to make and concepts to get to that I always think about Sheck. Sheck's brought some stuff for me, so maybe we can kind of trade off back and forth. I was speaking to Dr. Drew earlier, and I was getting into this conundrum that I've expressed many times on this show, which is I can no longer order a vodka soda and lemon because it always shows up with a lime. And there's
it's true.
It is uncanny now. And I was saying that you have to kind of look at things and how they change and then why they change. So we all grew up in a schoolyard in the fifth grade where nobody we knew was allergic to peanuts, and now they have a corral with benches in it for the peanut gallery, who they should definitely be called, for all the folks that will go into anaphylactic shock if they see a peanut, right? So you go, well, something has changed, and it's not a biology. It can't be that the human has evolved into not being able to tolerate peanuts.
Devolved.
Yeah, in the last 41 years. It's impossible. It's also, I find it ironic that the number one food that animals universally eat, whether you're trying to set a rat trap or feed a pill to your dog, is peanut butter, but now humans cannot do peanut butter anymore. Peanut butter is that when you capture a squirrel or a dove or a rat, or you want to bait something and you need one thing to feed them, it's either peanut butter or string cheese. Those are the two items that when you have no idea what the, if I ever like adopted a whale or something, I would go, just give it peanut butter. Take some string cheese and put peanut butter on it. Give it to them.
True, right. If the aliens landed and you wanted to make friends with them.
I would offer a peanut butter based offering. All creatures, not only on this globe, but in the universe, respond positively to peanut and peanut butter, but now humans have decided it's a no-fly zone.
Has it been only 200 years that peanut butter? This is one of those things that didn't exist for, you know, thousands of man's recorded history. George Washington Carver invented this thing out of nothing.
Did not.
He didn't.
I know we have a large black listenership, and I do not want to devastate you, but Andrew Straub, I think it was Andrew Straub, guy invented peanut butter.
What in hell? I've never heard.
George Washington Carver mashed a lot of peanuts, but then he made axle grease and like lantern oil out of it. But he never, he was in his lab and he was breaking for lunch and he was asking his wife to bring him down a ham and cheese sandwich while he was creating peanut butter, but not using it to spread.
Never thought to consume it.
Well, maybe in his mind it was so utilitarian. There's so many things.
What the hell was he doing with the peanuts if not making them to turn into his version of a butter?
I looked it up. He did not.
Andrew Straub, you say. Rob.
I think it was Straub, Andrew Straub or Straub or something. Or maybe it wasn't Andrew, but it was close to. We'll figure it out. All right. So here's my thing.
Okay.
What happened with lemons and limes that bartenders and airline stewardesses and everything have lost? It's lost its meaning. I was told many times you must say yellow lemon in order to get people to bring you
a
lemon.
When he orders a drink off a vodka soda with a yellow lemon.
Yes.
He says that. It's
now you have to put yourself in the position of being a jackass. You have to explain that a lemon is yellow.
But it's now ubiquitous. It went from a coin toss to I'm now getting a lime. And then I suggested, and this is where this is going, I think with everyone staring at their phone, TikTok, and the generation, you know, the average bartender's 26-year-old person, they've lost their ability to focus. Hmm. And because lemon and lime start with the same two letters, they've been destroyed. And so what we need to do is designate another name for either lemon or lime. But then that led me to my age-old argument, push and pull. And how four letters, first two letters are the same. As Drew pointed out, last letter, high stem. That was a learned thing. But you're right. They rhythmically, they're the same amount of letters, and the first two are identical, and you're walking toward the door of the diner, talking on your phone, and bam, right into the aluminum. So I said, what is wrong with us that we do this to ourselves with this push and this pull? And the countless heartache it's caused. And by the way, our parents were victims of this too. Like your dad in 1969 tried to walk into a diner outside of Beaver Falls, pulled the thing when he should have pushed it. It banged. They hang the bells on there, which will still like alert everyone that this person can't read. And then everyone in the diner like cranes their head because they want to know what happened. Never fixed it. Never ends.
You're right. 1969. Quick side note. When I was growing up, that makes me think of beads. That there was an attempt for a generation to replace proper doors with beads hanging in doorways. Gone now. Nobody does that anymore. Anyhow, back to
what you were saying. You're right. Well, I had that too. Beads.
Oh, you had one of those?
It was kind of a hippy dippy. It was kind of cool, like the beads. Okay, the beads arguably do less of what you want a door to do than saloon doors. Saloon doors don't keep out flies. They don't keep out the homeless. They don't do anything except for comically spring back and snap whoever's behind you in the balls, right? There's nothing.
But what was the point of saloon doors now that you bring those up? What value did they have? Oh, aesthetic value?
No, I have a theory.
I thought I was insulting you.
No.
The
reason in olden days they needed to invent saloon doors, which again didn't do anything because there were 3 feet of daylight above them and below them. they needed to invent saloon doors, because I imagine saloons had doors, like proper doors.
Yeah.
You know, with maybe a hasp or bolt, deadbolt or lock on it or something.
I don't know what those words mean, but okay.
That's a way to secure a door.
Okay.
So a barrel bolt, perhaps. They probably had a door, like olden, ye old pub in like olden days and stuff like that. But then it came to the West. In the West, at least according to every movie I've seen, a fight would break out every night.
That's right.
And inevitably, during the fight, somebody would get thrown out of the window. And back then, glass was not cheap or easy to come about. You couldn't go down to the Home Depot and get yourself a new window.
Not a phone call away.
No, that was a big ticket item.
Sure.
So somebody said, I bet they'd like to toss people out of this venue. But we're losing a lot of windows because the door's locked. They can't throw them out of the door. You know, you're trying to throw a guy out by the seat of his pants and you got to stop and go turn the door and have someone hold it open and then throw him out. It interrupts the entire process.
Yeah, right.
So somebody said, let's make a door where you can throw people out of the saloon. This is a perfect door for tossing
people. And it
really
heightens the drama. When you fly through, boom, boom, those
right,
two doors.
Yeah, right. And it probably saved a lot of windows.
Amen. You know what? I like that quite a bit. I also love the loose sense of trying to have a business back then in an Old West saloon. Because back then you could just say, like, leave the bottle. And the bartender apparently had no choice but to do it. Like, yeah, leave the whole bottle of whiskey? Like, how are we going to account for that? Like when it's closing time and we give him his bill, how much are we charging this guy? Like, I don't know, you know.
Yeah, and they didn't have any
Hoot, you know, Hoot's going to be back tomorrow. But like, but don't we need to bill him for tonight? All the whiskey he drank?
And they didn't have that very primitive ways of measuring stuff. Like now you go to the airport, it's got that cap on it. It's got that leash that goes to the computer. It only pours out. Back then they had to use fingers.
Yeah.
I'll take two fingers plain.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I bet bartenders had fat fingers back then because you would want, or you would only go to the bar where the fat fingered guy was.
Let me see those hands.
Gus, I need three. Let me see your hands before we do your fingers, because we may use my fingers if they're fatter than yours. I would announce to the bar, who has the fattest fingers in this place? And Hoss would get up and I'd go, we're using Hoss's fingers.
And Hoss's thumbs.
Yeah.
And put the big toe in there too. No pinkies allowed. Right.
All right. So George Washington Carver did not invent peanut butter. I got John Kellogg. I got Marcellus Gilmore. What did Andrew Straub invent? That's because I looked him up and he was great. All right. So. We're having difficulty with the two L's and the lemon and the lime. And it's not that. It's that people have lost their ability to concentrate because of technology and TikTok.
We're only absorbing like 70%.
Right, but our forefathers didn't set us up for success is your other point.
Right. We should have used different. But they thought to themselves, mistakenly, much like the inventor of the first snap top for toothpaste. Oh, well, then the problem is solved. There'll be no more women leaving the cap. off of this toothpaste, because that's an exclusive woman thing, because now we have the snap top built in. Oh, contraire. You did not estimate the resolve to fuck up the toothpaste. All women leave the cap up. It's a weird thing. And then get violent if you happen to broach that with them, which is a great wiring.
Top 8 to 10 most selfish act. It's in the running for me. The new, you know, like the old, you know, leaving your grocery cart where you're forever. Finished with it. Once you finished your transaction with it, you just leave it there for someone else to deal with. The number one, it's obvious and lame to point out, but these people who just leave their dog poop everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
Like, come on the way to school. Like,
disgusting.
It's a horror.
Sorry, update. Ambrose Straub patented the first peanut butter making machine. So he didn't invent peanut butter, but he kind of did in the sense that anyone who mashed up peanuts kind of made peanut butter. He brought it.
He was unable to share it with everybody in the world.
All right. So with that in mind, in the first two letters of push and pull, I've said many times, it should be push and yank. But and then we would solve the problem immediately, but we're not doing
great,
this. But then
great solution.
I want to know other countries. What were they up to? Like what French, Italian?
Ooh,
Japanese, German, Sweden. are they dumb enough to outside of their diners to have push and to pull their version of it start with the same two letters? Because that would be insane to me.
Yeah.
And it turns out we're the dumbest country on earth because...
Color me stunned.
French is Poussour and Tierre or Terreur or whatever. It's P and it's T. So they went two different.
And you can even just go with the first letter on the doors.
Yeah, and different lengths. Yeah, we couldn't do the first two letters.
That's a nice point, too. If at least if there were like, seven characters to three characters, your eye would pick that part up.
You would rhythmically learn. You would learn that at the age of seven, and it would stay with you until the grave.
I also have to jump in and say, in defense of our people, all people who don't know how to open a door the right direction. The thing, the glass door that's got the same handle on either side, you're leaving this open to interpretation to begin with. There could be, you know, in olden days, there was like a clear push bar on one side, and then the other one was only for opening. Right. Now it's murky. Anyway, I'm sorry.
Also, in Italian, it's S-P-I-N-G-E-R for pull, and then... it's close to French with a Tierra or something. It's a T-I again. So that in Japanese, it's an O-S, Osu versus Haiku, which H-I. And in German, it's D-R, like Drunken versus Z-N or some version. But it's a D-R versus a Z-I. And even in Sweden, it's an S-K versus a D-R. So we are the only
crystal clear
modernized culture that participates in this folly.
I mean, why can we not? Are we so intractable? Like the Titanic, it's too much to try and turn it now. Why can't we change this? These are things that I've seen Adam Carolla do. You've made society better. It's my charge. I look the man in the mirror and say, planet Earth is nice. This is a nice life, but I'd like to leave this world better than I found it. I think that's the mission you accepted many years ago yourself, Adam. Why can't we change this?
Here's another letter.
Talk to Gavin related Newsom. Thing. I want this would fix things with you and Gavin Newsom once and for all. If you could have that change.
Send him a DM. See if he gets back to me. Here's another conundrum that has international origins. Electrocardiogram. Your dad's probably offered a few of those or summoned a few of those. Or it's shortened as an EKG. K.
Oh, wow. Wow.
K. EKG for what cardio. Did, right? Where did the K come from? Why is it not an ECG?
Is it somehow an upgrade? ECG? No? ECG? No. It's just somehow hits the ear? No. It's fine. You're
it's
right.
Just an abbreviation for electrocardiogram, but to put a K in there.
Yeah.
Fascinating, right?
Very strange. You know, I've been pondering a lot lately. I don't want to turn into a whole thing.
I have an answer, by the way.
Oh, you do? Please, please.
Germans invented it, and their cardio is with a K. They will use a K for compressor, too. Like, do you ever see those...
Mercedes
with the supercharger on there. They're saying supercharging air, you know, compressing air, but it's a K. So they will use a K in place of a C. This is invented. I was mistaken. I thought the EKG electrocardiogram was invented in Mexico. It turns out it's Germany. So you can't judge and you can never categorize cultures. But they invented it.
With a K.
And so we do electrocardiogram, but we say EKG. And then this led me to another misuse of the K versus the C.
K.
Done. Had nothing to do with Germany. This is done in the United States. This is us. The cruiser, the K9 unit, giant K.
Right.
It's crazy.
Wild stuff.
Let me tell you something.
We're doing it to ourselves.
I think you. I don't know how that we would have such synergy, such overlap on our respective Venn diagrams of annoyances. Mm-hmm. Of late, the alphabet, our alphabet, has been not driving, keeping me up at night, below grade. Bothersome. We could have a nice and neat 25 letters. Where did C come from? Who does C think it's fooling coming in here? Hey, you need a k sound?
Now don't say that to Thomas Howell. Don't you attack that seat.
No, no, no. Please don't tell him we talked about this. That's before he gets in here.
Okay.
But let me just say something to you. You need the k sound?
Mm-hmm.
K's got you covered, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. You're not doing that any lift in there, see?
Right.
What are you jumping into this act for? You need, oh, but wait, but we need C because what is S for then?
Right.
C's just a jive letter jumping into the alphabet with no business being there whatsoever. We don't need the letter C. 26 letters, that's clunky. 25 is nice and neat.
Mm-hmm.
Fair?
Actually wants to get rid of the letter C.
You know what else I was thinking?
And also like telling a kid to learn your ABDs. That flows. That's not a deal breaker.
That's fine. That's absolutely fine. The other thing that I'm fascinated by is the low self-esteem that some letters must have. Think about spelling certain alphabet letters. Mm-hmm. Like if I say spell the alphabet letter B, how do you spell that, Donovan?
B-E-E.
B-E-E. D.
Yeah.
D-E-E.
D-E-E, yeah.
Imagine if you're the letter F, though. E-F-F. You don't even start with yourself.
Oh, yeah.
Must be low. Must be like, well, don't forget, that's a sore subject for me.
Yeah, F.
But
yeah.
The other one that makes me wild is, okay, listen. So you have like A is like A-Y-Y or however you might spell that. So you couldn't have H be A. But H, like every other letter, M is E-M-M. N is E-N-N.
Yeah, the letter is still in the spelling dominantly.
Right. H. Who decided that that's how we would pronounce that letter? The goalposts. Old-style goalposts. What are we going to call that? Huh? No. H. H. Who can? What kind of crazy word is that to apply to these goalposts?
And it's the last letter of push, and it's a long-stem letter.
Also, W is two U's put together.
Right,
W,
right.
But it's two V's. Well, I don't have eyes.
Right.
So not only does it not have its letter
in it,
why
the face to V, which is spelled V-E-E at least, but still W. I mean, I don't even know what the hell. But
call it a Willy Woo.
Dave, the Italians are on this. There is no K in the Italian alphabet.
I mean, apparently not. Well, Germany.
The Germans
though,
are in love with the K's. They could start a war if we try to wrestle those K's away from them.
Can I tell you something else very quickly? Now that you're talking international matters and fun words and everything else, I'd like to give you the update on the three best names in the sports world right now.
Mm-hmm.
Please.
Are you ready for these? I think you'll find them all delightful. All three of these.
Mm-hmm.
A St. Louis Cardinals outfielder getting ready right now for the upcoming season. His name? Lars Nootbaar. Lars Nootbaar. Two O's, two A's in the last name. Nootbaar.
Lars Nootbaar sounds like something you take when you're hiking.
Yeah, it sounds
delicious.
I mean,
like, I'm leaving the house. You got your water?
Feeling lightheaded.
Very
nutritious.
You got your Lars Nootbaar?
Take that little bit of water. That'll make you feel good.
Right.
You'll be ready for the second part of the climb.
That's a great name.
The classic at this point, spelled with a K, of course, classic. The New York Islanders two-way forward, first overall pick a few years ago, Capo Caco.
Oh, man, that is good.
By the way, I was delighted when I thought it was Capo Caco. I thought it was Capo Caco, and I thought that was dynamite.
Right. It got better.
Rangers fans let me know. No, you're mispronouncing it. It's Caco.
Wow.
Said, well,
even better.
Caco it is.
Mm-hmm.
And Pitt. Surprising men's basketball team this year, led in part by 6'11", Egyptian-born, Finland-raised, 6'11", maybe about 92 pounds guy. Maybe I'm exaggerating the weight part, but you get the picture. Federico!
Oh, man.
So good you say it twice.
I'll go out of my way on Twitter or otherwise to hit up play-by-play guys. When they say like Federico with the rebound, like
right,
what the gods have given you a gift. Every time you say his name, without fail, you better go Federico,
right.
Or shame the devil. You're only going to call him Federico once.
Yeah,
what a waste.
Oh man, I cannot wait to hear all these names. And you should put together a 2-hour montage. It, you know, goes back to DeBrickashaw and Bake McBride and all the great. all the great sports
names. Federico.
Beautiful.
His name is so. I love that. See, I don't. I resent parents who do stuff like Pete. Like they're Peters, the great goalie from the from the NHL way back. They named him Peter Peters. That's unfair to the kid. Federico.
That's beautiful.
Chef's kiss.
So I've met a Dale Daly, and that was pretty close. But then another kid, his last name was De Los Santos. So his parents named his first name Santos.
Mm.
So Santos De Los Santos.
That's good. Not since the 70s sitcom Mary Hartman. And, of course, the international leader Boutros Ghali have – I've been so excited to hear the same name.
Best dictator name.
Yeah, two times.
I haven't leaned into the best dictator names yet, but we'll get to that.
All right. Well, speaking on our international news and theme of today, I'm going to ask Sheck to help me. I'm not leaning into this with any prejudice. I actually am looking for help in this department. I was driving through a dicey part of Los Angeles on the way to LAX a couple of weeks ago, passed a sign in front of a restaurant, kind of broken down place on the corner, and it was painted on the stucco above the restaurant, and it said Mexican cuisine. And I thought, I've seen a lot of Mexican food places, but I don't know if you guys have earned cuisine.
That as a country.
You got to step up to cuisine. You guys may not be at cuisine levels yet when it comes to your culture. You know what I mean? You need a stout Air Force. You can't have drug cartels running the place. I may not give you that cuisine. You got to earn the cuisine. But then I started thinking about it. Canada's pretty evolved, but they haven't earned a cuisine. They haven't upped their food game.
They don't really
get a cuisine.
What kind of food do they serve there? A guy told me unironically, like, oh, you got to go to this new restaurant. He's like, I'm hit and miss on Hawaiian food. And I'm like, outside of Hawaii, I didn't know that was a place you go, that there are places to go. But apparently,
and they haven't earned a cuisine.
Cuisine. Right.
Hawaii, you got to earn your cuisine.
Canada. There's no Canadian cuisine.
No.
Now, England doesn't really have a cuisine.
No.
French
cuisine. That's probably where cuisine was born.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. All right. This is a tough one. Germany.
German cuisine.
Cuisine. No, I
German
think of them
food.
As,
I want German food.
Yeah, I'd almost go chow.
But
I'd almost go chow.
But
because the link,
I'm here to
pretzels and beer.
Yeah, if they do cuisine, it's with a K though.
But I'm here not to jog your memory in terms of how do you hear it, but have they earned it? You know what I mean? Like I might have to go down to that Mexican food place and tell them politely. Of course, we're gonna have to take your cuisine. But I will give it to a more deserving country. Like we say Chinese food, but I think they've earned a cuisine over there. I love Chinese food and cuisine. I eat it all the time. It's a lot of variations going on.
It's wonderful, yes.
So I may say to the Mexico, or at least that establishment, I need the cuisine.
Yeah.
There are only so many. China's earned it. I'm not saying you can't get it back, but you got to do something. You got to step outside of cheese and tortillas and beef. You know,
if you're
going to step it up.
I'll meet you halfway. Mexican restaurant. Mexican
I'll tell you
food,
what. Mexican right. food restaurant. If you guys can do me a dessert, I'll see if I can get that cuisine back. But so far, the flan and the churros, like that's for 9 years.
I think you're tough but fair. It's the same thing I say about Bob Greasy. Is Eli Manning a Hall of Famer? Like, I don't know. I can't get caught up in that. Like, unless we're going to take Bob Greasy's gold jacket away, which we should. So, mm-hmm. Like, we only have so many, Bob. You got to give it back because you're not worthy of a Hall of Fame.
Now you sound
anymore.
Like my mom. All right.
I want to
Chinese, Japanese. I think we can give them a cuisine.
Oh, yeah.
They need a cuisine.
By the way, I had a brilliant idea recently. I went to a hibachi place. You know where the chef in the literal high hat. Is mm-hmm. he does his performance and everything, and it's a good time with the kids. And now, by the way, as another side, we went to one of those, and I realized I don't think I'm a great person, but I realized I'm not completely soulless because when my kids, they get distracted, they're doing whatever, they're playing grab ass, and they're not paying attention to the show at the hibachi place when the guy's mm-hmm. flipping the shrimp things mm-hmm. into his hat
yes.
and he's making the volcano fire mm-hmm. of onions and everything. And sometimes they get distracted and I feel bad for him. He's dancing for us and they're not watching the performance. So I overdo it. I overcompensate. I'm like, whoa, hey. that's the best volcano of onions that I have ever seen. And I do that, and I feel like I'm okay. You know?
Yeah.
Like, good
yeah,
for you, Dave.
Overcompensate.
Like, the kids ain't paying attention, but the boss, the guy cooking up there. But my invention is, or my thought is, why don't we do the hibachi stuff? And I like the show. I enjoy the show. But it's the only way to get that delicious steak and shrimp on that hibachi grill like that. Why doesn't somebody do like a pickup, like a drive through of hibachi?
When I
don't have time for the show, which I'll be back for. You saw my reaction to it, sir. I love it. But you know, sometimes I just want to get the fix. I want to get
quick.
That.
So Dave, do you
best
serious question.
Rice. Yeah.
Do you think medieval times should have a drive through? Because that's what you're saying.
I'm bitten by my own snake. I like that you took the glasses off.
I'm punctuating my point by taking my glasses off. I have thoughts about Benihana.
Uh-huh.
It's maybe controversial. I got a couple more countries to get through on my cuisine
please.
List. All right. So Benihana thoughts. I have a big problem with Benihana. I agree with you that I love the food.
Mm-hmm.
And for many people, including my son, who eats in a way that makes me angry, Benihana is Valhalla for him. He's come home because when he eats dinner, he gets a pile of steak, he gets a pile of rice, and he gets a pile of vegetables, and then he eats them all separately.
No.
No co-mingling. Which is
this
insane.
This is your child.
I thought he was.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not so sure. Let me take my glasses off. But I look at him and I'm like, take a scoop of the rice, get a piece of steak on there and get a little onion or veggie on there and just scoop it all in at once. Yeah, that's the way to do it. He's like, now I'm going to finish all the steak. Then I'm just going to eat the plain rice.
Plain rice.
I'm like, what the?
No.
Now, the problem, so it upsets me. Now, the guy's 30 feet away from us, Mike August, is equally as upsetting because he mashes everything together like a madman it's like that movie Tar or something. I didn't see it, but she conducts, and that's what he does with a knife and a fork. Sure. Angrily, just whiplash or something.
The first date at the end of the table that you weirdly have to share. That's a weird thing too about the Benihana places. The sharing of tables with people.
Yeah,
like
yes.
In the, you're very close to them.
You need your own table.
And you kind of have to react with them.
But the problem
and
is
August eats off of their plates. That's what's embarrassing.
August will take a nice cube of lasagna and just pulverize it, right? Before he takes a bite. Okay. So they're both equally as upsetting. Mm-hmm. Sonny, Mike August. The Benihana problem is I love all the food. I'm with you. I need it all at once. They do the shrimp, and they give you the three shrimp, and you just eat the three shrimp. And then they do the steak, and you eat the steak. And then at the end, or at some point, they do the rice, which is the best because it's the, you know, pork fried or whatever.
Garlic butter, that's what they do.
But then the rice shows up, but you find yourself eating like Sonny eats when the reality is getting that rice, getting the shrimp, getting the veggie, getting all into one.
Yeah.
That's the most enjoyable, but no one has that kind of willpower to sit there and, yeah, Mike will grab your shrimp if you're just going to sit there and stare at it for 20 minutes waiting
the
for the rice.
So
I made
cook.
A similar point. To remember Jimmy Kimmel?
Mm-hmm.
Of course.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but no, we worked. Mm-hmm. I worked with you mm-hmm. and you worked with him. And I remember. Anyway, I brought my longstanding thought that talk about making the world a better place. In most circumstances, a plate is not better than a bowl. A bowl mixes your food for you. And he scoffed at how ridiculous an idea. Scoffed at the notion of it.
No, I got to tell you, the greatest innovation that's new to my life is the plate. That turns up
that's
on the side,
the one.
Just an inch and a quarter. It's a plate. It's a bowl.
That's right.
It's all the above. It's a Swiss Army knife of eatery. It just goes, and it's got just that lip on the side. Perfect.
I've always said
they should all be
Carolla
that way.
And Kimmel, both nice guys. Carolla ultimately much more progressive, you know, than Jimmy is.
He wouldn't even sign off on my yogurt with fruit in the middle. Gotcha. Told me it would never work. We are not evolved enough, and we don't have enough scientific knowledge to invent a yogurt that has fruit in the middle.
No. For the record, I have to explain what it was. I'm sure people have heard this a number of times. The argument was that you said, why would you not put the fruit at the bottom so you can mix it better?
No, I said.
No, at the top.
No.
Wait. Fruit comes.
At the bottom.
At the bottom.
You said
it should be in the middle.
I said it should be in the middle because when you go to the bottom with the spoon, then the fucking yogurt goes 3 inches up the spoon. There's nothing worse than handling yogurt spoon.
That's correct.
You know, I mean, it's got the weird yogurt. It's bizarrely sexual to try to lick it off. It seems very homoerotic. You don't know what to do with it. You don't want to wipe it down with a napkin. You'll never get all of it out.
Right.
Can't do it, but fruit in the middle.
You need a stirring spoon and then an eating spoon. The way it's a the argument specifically was.
I was there. Go ahead.
Jimmy's assertion was that the fruit is put at the top, but it sinks to the bottom. That was his argument, it's the most cockamamie thing I've heard untouched. That man say.
I've said there were certain.
How would it sink to the bottom? What?
And how would the yogurt, the white yogurt above it, remain pristine?
If you put raspberries in there, or strawberries in there. 2022 Shecky Award winner for Fruit of the Year as a side note, by the way, the strawberry. I don't know if you heard the
I know, news, I read. So I get the papers. I watch CNN.
The papers.
I get all the papers.
It would turn it pink. Of course, it would turn it pink. It's got juice inside. It would make the residual strawberry would stain the white yogurt.
I told
him.
Why
would you even say that? Why would he come up with that nonsense?
I think he was being unduly combative, but I said to him, all right, I'll tell you what we're going to do then. I'm going to get one of those Newton yogurts that's all white yogurt, not pre-mit, you know, not the colored stuff, the flavor, just white.
Pure yogurt.
With the strawberry fruit at the bottom. I'm going to take it in the fridge over here in the snack zone, and I'm going to flip it over. And then we're going to wait 10 days, and then I'm going to open it. And if all the fruit is at the lid now, and there's no remnants of any of it on the white, I'm going to put $10,000 up right now. Then he yelled at me to get the fuck out of the office. or this one, which Sheck, my entire adult life has been with this, especially with women, where they go, why are you obsessed with yogurt? I'm not obsessed with it. If they had listened to me, this is over 20 years now. Fruit in the middle yogurt, game changer.
Listen, you're doing your version.
This is
of
my
surgery.
Push and pull. I'm trying to help.
It.
I'm not.
That's all.
Yes.
Same. I get the same jive. That's you know what they call that? Haters.
That's what the kids are calling it now.
That's called being a hater. I know we have a lot to do.
Four more cuisines here.
I want to hear four more cuisines. I also, though, am anxious, really, to hear your thoughts on the Aaron Rodgers thing. You're aware of what he's been doing, right?
I have no.
Are you kidding?
I missed it.
You don't know about his darkness retreat?
Oh, when did this hit?
It just happened.
Aaron Rodgers,
who is. I don't want to get into the whole thing with you, but you know Aaron Rodgers' last two years of his life, whatever. The comments he's made and all this.
Controversial.
Right. He's got this messianic complex now, though, where he has all the answers, which is a weird thing, but it's not uncommon for people who are that insulated and told all the time, slapped on the back, you're a genius at what you do, and somehow then this transfers and transcends mere footballing to now he has all the answers about life. He's unlocked the tricks. Mm. And So most recently, as he now has to decide, does he want to go back to the Green Bay Packers? Does he want to retire or maybe play the field a bit? He may get traded to the Jets, the Raiders, or like I say, walk off into the sunset. So to help get his mind right, he went into what now is being described as after the fact, because he's done with it, a four-day darkness retreat. Mm-hmm. Where he's in abject darkness, in what's been described a hobbit-like space, 300-foot little apartment in a dungeon. There, the pictures we're seeing here, they're all over the internet.
Mm-hmm.
He goes down into this thing, and he lived down there for 4 days in darkness.
300 square feet.
Solitary confinement is what it is. I think it's a fascinating if this is all new to you, meditate on it and get back to the audience tomorrow, because I really do want your full thoughts on what you think of this, because I legitimately think, no joke, I think it makes a statement about like the old cliche about money not buying happiness. You're got to be worth $200 million, Aaron Rodgers. Like, you can't find peace at 39. Like, you have to go and basically treat like the worst prisoner, the ne'er-do-well prisoner. That's the treatment you're subjecting yourself to get your brain right. It's really weird stuff to me. But anyway, if you're not aware of it, read up on it, because I find it, as I say, bizarre. Oh, you know, he's an ayahuasca enthusiast, which, you know, fine by me. Take whatever you want to take. But
yeah. Can you use the flashlight on your iPhone? That'd be my first question. And if the answer is no, I'm out. I think to answer your question, Shaq, and then we got to listen to a clip of you asking about must-win games, because we got a clean version of that. I think what it is you say, you have all this money, you know, sort of now what? But I think this is the dominion of people with the money. These are the people that are doing this. This is basically sort of my theory. Whenever I talk to dominatrix, they always, you know, I get into a cart and the guy pretends to be a horse. I put a bit in his mouth and he pulls me in a circle and I whip him. It's always the CEO of a Fortune 500 company. It's never the guy who's doing the cinder block wall on the side of the freeway.
That guy wants a
Corona and some pussy. His life is being beat on by a dominatrix known as society. So people always want
a really big one.
I know. People want the opposite of what? And when you realize you can buy anything and have anything, you quickly realize you don't find happiness.
Right.
If you bought, he's got a Bentley or a Rolls Royce, and then he starts not appreciating it after day number three. So stuff. And those are the guys that are jumping in the frozen lakes, doing the deprivation tanks, ayahuasca. Those are all the guys. What's his name who ran Facebook?
Wasn't Zuckerberg. Twitter.
No, not Zuckerberg.
Jack
Dorsey. Yeah, guys like Jack Dorsey.
Yeah,
they have more money than they can, you know, the notion of at age 37, you have more money than you can spend in your lifetime is bizarre. It's a burden that people think they want, but it's also kind of a weird thing. And that's where the exploration comes
in. What happens when
you
achieve all your dreams and there's still 40 or 80 years left to live? I think that's probably the correct answer.
So for me, it'd be like, oh, what if they change the restaurant doors from Push to Yank? And what if they change the name of Lime to start with a letter that wasn't an L? And
yogurt.
What if that Mexican food place gave me their cuisine and said I could hand it to a Chinese restaurant place down the street? At some point, I would start reeling.
Yeah, what do you do?
You know what I mean?
What do you do with your life, your time?
I got two more thoughts. Oh, no. Let's hear the clip. Now we're talking about sports. Set it up, Shaq.
Okay, so, you know, for the better part of the last 13 years, I've always been amused by the so-called media night or media day that precedes the Super Bowl. Super Bowl week is started officially, I suppose, by the two teams arrive in the host city, and then they have media night where all the media can go out and ask them questions. This year it was conducted in Phoenix, in Phoenix's arena. I forget which one, their hockey or basketball one, even though it wasn't their hockey one. Anyway, it was their basketball one. Either way, It is, I'm sure you've seen clips, even if you're not a football fan, because it draws out those people who are looking for their 15 minutes of fame. They dress mm-hmm. as the Statue of Liberty, or there was a guy there this year who was apparently nude but was covered in a full body barrel kind of a look.
Wow.
You know, clownish kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah, right, it's exactly right. You know, goofballs, but, you know, obvious goofs trying to, you know, be silly heads and get a laugh out of people. The other half of the people there are the overly serious journalists mm-hmm. who, I mean, if you want to be taken seriously, as a general note, then go cover geopolitics. Don't cover football. I mean, right. if you want cred as a journalist, mm-hmm. In my opinion, mm-hmm. with few exceptions,
mm-hmm.
those guys are very serious, and they are ticked about the people who are dressed up like clowns and
it's
doing
a travesty.
Right. I mean, what are you doing? We're trying to – and they try to engage in serious-minded conversation with these people while surrounded by 300 other people like, mm-hmm. hey, what's your favorite kind of lunch meat? Like kind right. of questions. And
right.
these people are like, what's it mean this mm-hmm. time around for you after this journey you've been on these last 6 years to finally return for a chance at a Lombardi? Like,
right.
now ain't the time, man.
Right.
Like, and literally talking about Bible verses and stuff like that. It's like – this ain't the place for that either.
It's too deep.
So I try to thread the needle by asking the most inane question you could possibly ask, but doing it seriously and dressed in a suit so that people don't see me coming.
Mm-hmm.
It's my commentary, Adam. I'm
right.
satirizing the state of sports journalism by asking the football players before the Super Bowl if the Super Bowl is a must-win game.
All right, let's hear it.
Travis, would you say this is a must-win game?
1,000%, man.
Is this a must-win game?
Yeah, I would consider it a must-win game for sure, because if you don't, you're going home without the trophy. So definitely a must-win game.
Yes on the must-win game.
Yeah.
Is this a must-win game?
Well, they're all must-win games, but this is a more of a must-win game? Yeah.
Yeah.
And check,
people get so mad.
They got really they
why?
Were calling they were just
funny.
Like some idiot just asked everybody if this is a must
that.
Win game. Like that was the all over the Twitter and NFL media. Everybody was just talking about some rogue reporter is going around asking that and
what kind of jackass? Well,
yeah.
Guess it's Super Bowl week when the dummies come out and start asking ill-informed questions like is the Super Bowl I think so.
Wow.
And they tweeted out and get millions of clicks.
I know.
Well,
congratulations.
Yes,
thank
you did your job.
I also apologize to Jalen Hurts for not believing he could get to the Super Bowl. And he said after two full beats of silence, cool.
All right, a couple more cuisine countries to get into. Japan, India.
Ooh, I think, you know what? Exotic cuisine. Right? Mm. It's the definition of exotic.
I love Indian food.
Me too.
But I don't know if it has enough range to be a cuisine.
Hmm.
It's basically the same four things I get every time. But it's great.
Blindfolded, I wouldn't be able to tell what the difference between the curries or anything like that. But I love it. I could eat it all day.
All right. Here's a no-brainer. Russia.
No-brainer, he says.
I don't feel they've earned a cuisine, especially with this Ukrainian whole thing.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that's
it's a political thing. Now.
Well, everything, you know, these days. I just don't feel like I've ever been in the mood for Russian cuisine. Russian could school me up, but I don't feel they've earned my cuisine.
When you say Russian cuisine, now I'm trying to think. I should be able to summon. So they have the beet soup,
borscht.
Right? Borscht,
yeah.
That ain't a
no.
thing for damishing.
And also,
do you know that they eat bears? Not Russians, but people. I didn't know that people ate bear. I asked that a year or two ago to somebody. I was like, why don't we eat every beet? We eat most beets. Why not bear? And I was corrected. We do eat bear. I wonder if Russians eat bear.
Also, Russians, it seems to me, need help in the cocktail department because it's all just vodka. They're all just drinking vodka. There's nobody drinking a good bourbon over there. Like, I imagine
there is. Good Russian
beer.
No, I've never heard of
it. It's all straight vodka.
Do they drink white Russians in Russia?
I don't think they do.
Good question.
I think it feels like room temperature vodka in a tumbler, no ice, no lemon or lime. And they just, that's what I hear. I'm saying maybe we could loosen them up with a nice Manhattan. or slow gin fizz. You know
see
what
the
I mean?
World, yeah, a little with gentler eyes, right?
All right, last two, Greece.
I mean, if we're talking about range,
there's no range.
Not
there.
A ton of range with no. The Greek food.
No,
I love it.
No.
I mean,
sorry, you can't get a cuisine.
Sorry, Greece.
Here's one, Thailand. I love Thai food.
I vibe to the exotic nature of it once again, just as I did to the Indian food. I'm going to leave. You know what? I'm going to defer to you, Adam.
If I made the argument for India that there wasn't enough range, then, I got to go not enough range with Thai food.
Right.
Much
fair.
As I love Indian and Thai food, they have not earned a cuisine.
Yeah, China and Japan reign superior over
yes,
there in Asia.
That's
I think
right.
Thailand's close, though.
We're veering into that territory where Adam has said the word cuisine enough in the last 20 minutes that it's one of those where it's starting to lose meaning to me. Like, cuisine. I don't know how to spell cuisine.
Well, that's what I'm going to tell that whoever the proprietor is of the Mexican food place in L.A., I'm going to you start playing fast and loose with cuisine and it loses its meaning.
That's right.
I don't know what it means anymore. Neither the white or the black Russians has a Russian origin. They don't have that. It's just called Russian because there's vodka in it. All right. One of the last ones for you.
White us. There Check. Is no site. What's that? My last what?
No, I got one for you.
Oh, go ahead.
I got more. Unless you have something.
No. Okay. Go ahead, please.
I
think the lime as a bartender, it has less use and they're trying to slip it by you. I think they're trying to drop the lime in your lap, even though they know you want a lemon. But to them, lemon is more precious.
Yeah,
let's see if I can.
Limes
this on
are
this.
Now cheaper and they're more durable.
Yeah,
they last longer, so they're trying to move it.
But they don't taste good, and you know who figured that out? I've hailed them on this very show on more than one occasion. The people at Starburst. Starburst made the scene in what, 78, Adam? You were
early.
You were matriculating when that made the candy scene. Starburst. They give you three. They give you the four dynamite flavors. They give you the strawberry. They give you the orange. They give you the lemon, and the lime. Nevertheless, it's a big hit with the kids our age growing up. We loved it. The Starburst. Lemon and lime. One half of the flavors available to us are lemon and lime.
Yeah.
They see the error in their ways. But wait, we're doing great. But we can be better. We can be better, the head scientist in the lab says. Let's eschew the lime. Who wants lime candy? What kind of weirdo?
Nobody
what
wants
weirdo
lime.
Kid would eat lime candy?
I think there was a lifesaver that was lime. Always the worst.
Yeah,
lime.
Yeah, Spree. Spree, too, had green. The greatest surprise was when you bit into a green thing and you're like, oh, I'm going to have to suffer through another piece of lime candy. Like, oh, it's watermelon. Oh, it's green apple. What a treat.
Green apple, yeah.
They do away with the lime. They replace it with cherry. Now we're talking about a murderer's row.
Yes.
Yes.
With orange and strawberry and cherry. Upgraded. That's all Adam's trying to do, everybody. Get off his back with a push and pull. With the lemon and lime.
They did it early.
With the K's overseas.
They did it early in the 1980s.
Yeah, I know that.
That's all. Okay, but I'm saying
lesson.
Starburst figured this out, but proprietors of diners with their push and their pull set in their ways.
Right.
I don't like it.
Right. This is the same thing as the peanut butter to bring the whole conversation home. This isn't evolving. This is devolving as a society, Adam.
So
I wish I could take my glasses off.
Now, back to the push and the pull and the knob and the handle and the bar. I brought this up on stage in Baltimore, but I wasn't able to fully explore it because it's a live audience. It's a comedy club. You know, you can't drill down like we can drill down here. there's a couple things. The do not disturb placard that you would hang from the doorknob in your hotel room still has the slit above the circle. But
right.
There are no more door knobs. They're door handles. And they have a kind of knife edge shape to them. And when you hang this on, it promptly falls.
It slides down.
It either goes through the crack or it slides down and falls off. And if you attempt to turn the knob, if you're inside, it just falls on the floor. So you go to bed at night, you put the do, you know, it's 1:30 in the morning, you're drunk, you put the do not disturb on there, you shut the door, you latch it, and you hear the thing hit the ground.
Yeah.
Then you have to go back
out. If you're lucky, you hear.
I literally put it on my door when I left and was walking down the hall and heard it hit the ground. Had to circle back. We cannot use the slit anymore on the do not disturb because we no longer use knobs. There's zero knobbage in any. There's no hotel that is so old that there's a knob in it. Maybe some boutique-y place in, you know, the English countryside or something. They're all handles. And they're all sort of a little sharp, like a little knife edge.
I know, yeah, right.
And they sit at a little downward slope. So if you put it on there, it just slides off. And the part of the handle that goes onto the door is a little too robust, a little too round
to accommodate.
Yes. I found somebody had stuffed mine like down, just wedged it into like the crack between the knob and the door. When I was in Baltimore, it fell off like literally 34 times. Like I just kept replacing it. You cannot make these things with the slit anymore. They all need the round and it needs big bore. It's got to be big bore.
I found myself trying to get the do not disturb thing, and it's right. You teeter because it bends out a little, or it bends in a little bit, mm-hmm. right at the very end of it. And I find myself trying to balance it delicately. Mm. Like, what the hell am I suddenly put in this position for, hotel? You know?
Just put a piece of Velcro.
Now I am disturbed.
Put Velcro.
I didn't want to be disturbed. And now that's exactly what you've done.
But why would you attach it to a piece of the door that is literally trying to buck it off like a Bronco? You know, I'm going to put this thing.
Not fun. It'd not be, like it's a fun recreation for your visitors.
It'd be like, oh, what if we hung a Playboy air freshener from the rearview mirror of our car and the rearview kept shaking and going, yeah, get out of here. I don't want you on me. So you'll be more comfortable on the dash. Get down there. Like, I knocked it. All I did was keep knocking. Why, just Velcro it onto the door. Just slap it.
Oh, yeah.
Slap it on the door. Velcro. Magnet or a little peep thing where you just slide the thing open or slide it shut. Like, what are we doing with this folly? It's insane.
This is a great thought. You can jerry-rig it so that you prop it up there.
Right, but then when you come home, you open it, it falls off, then you have to reset it.
You couldn't do it. It would be physically impossible to do from inside. You could prop it up outside the door, but you wouldn't be able to be in the room when you did it. So you'd need a kindly passerby to help you out. You'd have to stay in there and wait for another hotel guest.
Or just like a do not disturb squire, like someone you traveled with.
Okay.
I think that's what I am, actually.
Who
to you.
Could then prop it on your room after your door was sufficiently shut and locked. You know
I always
what I mean?
Wondered what squires were for. Now we found the use for them.
Oh, yeah. So whoever's manufacturing these things, we need to change. The slit is only there for the knob. Mm-hmm. It has no utility and is very hurtful minus the knob. And since knobs, like let's try to think. When is the last time you went to a hotel and had a knob, old schooly knob for a door? It's been
decades.
20 years,
yeah.
25 years.
They only exist now in motels with an outdoor entrance.
Oh, right.
Those ones like still have lock. Knobs. Yeah. Those still have
knobs. Those were built in the 60s. Yeah. Right. Okay. So we need to update these signs. And we need to get rid of the slit. And we need to make a slightly bigger bore so that we can slide it all the way up and not have it fall off when we turn the handle. Because you can't have it on the handle part. This is a big issue. Dave.
I was just about to say, maybe the solution to the lemon and lime thing is that we just do away with limes. Do we need limes at all?
I don't. We have lemons.
We don't. That's exact. You know, I like a pancake, but in a world where there are waffles, I can make a case for why I want a pancake versus a waffle, but most of the time, as we've discussed, a waffle is a syrup cup. It has multiple syrup cups all over. Why is my self-esteem low? Is that why I would want a pancake where the syrup is going to run off of it?
Like
a do not disturb sign at a hotel in the 21st century? No, thank you. I'll take the thing that holds it. Maybe we take the lime. And since we have a bunch of limes now laying around with no use, we replace the do not disturb sign with the do not disturb lime.
Oh, that would just now
that outside
you're
your door. Now just put the lime right there outside the door. Now they know.
Problem solved.
Jimmy, no. Look, they got the lime.
Yeah. Jimmy said lime in the middle of the door is not going to work. It would all go to the bottom.
It'd sink.
When you left, it would sink. I had this argument with him. I want to say this. New World Order. I like waffles. I like pancakes.
I like them both.
I like them both. Pancakes, melt the butter because they come hot. You take the pad of butter, you slide it under the blanket of the top one, and it melts nicely.
A little bit of a canard.
I like waffles.
A waffle won't melt your butter for you?
Yeah, butter distribution is tough. Too many crevices, too many lines. Here's the world I want to live in. All waffles come with drawn butter. Like lobster, it's just you order lobster, you get drawn butter.
There's a place in Encino, you get drawn butter. There's a place in Encino called, coincidentally or not, More Than Waffles, and they give drawn butter. And I go gaga every time, like it's the first time I've ever seen it, like Madonna singing about her virginity. Every time I sing a song when the waiter brings that drawn butter out, I sing a song of joy that somebody had the good sense to melt the butter for me. I love it. It makes me wild. I feel like a king when I see it.
You know what I'm going to do? I'm going down to that Mexican place in South Central. I'm going to take their cuisine and I'm going to bring it over to the waffle place. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to go, you, my friend, have earned a cuisine.
You deserve
it. But I'm just a lowly waffle man. I go, you drew the butter. You drew first blood butter. I would love to start a waffle place called First Butter, and it'd be pictures of Stallone all over the place.
Replace his giant gun
with
a stack of waffles or a giant sausage. Oh, we only serve links here.
All right.
We've had that discussion, too.
We got to get this going because Tommy Howell says he has to go soon. But did Mike tell him to show up at the right time? Because he was coming on an hour in, right?
No, 2:30.
Oh, 2:30?
Yeah.
Oh.
Save big money on your entire roofing project now at Menards. Protect your home for years to come with Owens Corning architectural shingles. They offer long-lasting performance while providing ultimate protection with a 130 miles per hour wind rating and limited lifetime warranty. Choose from over 50 options of Owens Corning shingles in-store and on Menards.com. And check out more of our great deals going on now.
Save big money at the I screwed that up then.
I mean, I'm sure he understands you were talking about lines.
Yeah, no. All right. Apologies to formerly C. Thomas Howell, now Tommy Howell. I screwed that up. All right. Let's take ourselves a break and bring in the great Tommy Howell.
It's time for Nicaraguan Name That Movie with Adam's buddy Oswaldo. See if you can guess which movie this famous line is from.
Wolverine.
If you said Red Dawn.
Wolverines!
You're correct. Now, back to the show.
Tommy Howell, formerly C. Thomas Howell, is in studio. Sorry for the wait. I got screwed
up. That's all right, man.
On the show. Good to see you.
I didn't want to say anything, but I have to go do this thing tonight. So,
Yeah, this was on me.
But I'm super excited to be here, so thank you.
I'm glad to have you. The album sounds great, American Storyteller.
Appreciate it.
Wherever you find music. I did not even know that about your career. I know you're playing a lot of shows. You just played one with Tanya Tucker.
Yes, right. Yeah, and Tulsa opened up for Tanya. She was super cool.
Tanya, sorry.
Yeah, no,
cool.
Yeah. And, it was something that I didn't really expect. It kind of blew up over COVID, You know, as the industry shut down, I just kind of focused in another area, and that led me to something I've really been enjoying. And I found out I could sort of take that 2-hour format of storytelling from Hollywood, and I transferred it over to this 2-minute format, and I started writing songs, and I put a little band together out of Nashville, and we're traveling, and things kind of got out of hand in a stupid way.
But in a good way, right?
Yeah, in the best way, you know. But I think maybe sometimes the best things happen when you don't really expect them. And I have no stress here. It's not like I'm trying to go out and be famous, right? I'm just having a good time.
You look like a Bob Weir impersonator. You
know, somebody said that to me one time. I don't know if that's good or bad, but
no, that's good.
You know, it's I've earned every wrinkle and every gray hair on this head, Dave. You know, and I wear it proudly. And I tell everybody, they're like, Jesus, man, what the hell? What the hell happened to Pony Boy, right? I said, I got news for you, man. You know, Tom Cruise and Ralph Macchio look just like this. But, you know, they go the extra distance. And
do you think you're tough because you eat beans?
Yeah.
You do?
Yeah. Okay. All right. Yeah. All right. What about you?
I don't know. I just wanted to bring up Powers Booth.
Dave, an awesome
he's like, all
man.
That hate's going to burn you up, kid.
I watch that movie so many times. And so Dave, around the campfire scene, Dave takes umbrage with the, you think you're tough because you eat beans, kid. But my problem is when he punctuates it by throwing the whiskey
That's
into
right.
the fire.
Mm.
I'm like, we're on a hill.
Mm-hmm.
Even if all the
don't waste the whiskey.
All the whiskey's at the bottom of the hill where all the rooskies are.
Yeah, I understand.
And even if you weren't much of a drinker, you'd be drinking under these conditions.
Cold up there.
Your parents are dead.
Yeah.
Your sister's been raped.
But what he's thinking is this'll look cool and then I'll go to my dressing room.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, so it wasn't you guys didn't really live out there.
Not for real. But I will tell you this, it's the coldest I've ever been.
Oh, really?
Up there on Johnson's Mesa, it was so balls.
Where is
cold.
That, Johnson's Mesa,
we were
Colorado?
Up above north of Santa Fe, New Mexico, and it was cold, cold, cold.
I didn't know this about you because I always think I kind of pick up at Red Dawn with your career, but I didn't know that you were an E.T. I never even thought about
that. Yeah, I was one of the little rats in E.T.
And how did that come about?
You know, my father is still a stunt coordinator.
Oh, really?
And so I was raised in sort of the stunt part of the business and expected, you know, that's a very nepotistic world. The stunt,
oh, yeah.
You know, everybody grows up carrying their daddy's stunt bag, right? So I ended up acting and doing a lot of roles as a kid that were sort of a little more active. Like I would get I did a Kool-Aid commercial because I could ride the horse.
Right.
You know, that type of stuff. So I went into, my father picked me up at school and said, we're going to go meet this guy named Steven Spielberg. I never heard of him. And he handed me a pack of cigarettes and he said, figure out how to light that. And I had a pack of matches and I'm, you know, struggling to light this cigarette all the way down to go meet Spielberg. And we walk into the casting office and there's like five other guys that look just like John Stamos, you know, blue eyes and feathered back, precious hair.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking, Jesus, we got to go because there's no chance in hell I'm going to get this. And he said, just wait, just wait. And they went out one by one, and I was the last one to go in. And I walked in, and there was Steven, and I was in the lights, and, you know, Kathleen Kennedy, Frank Marshall, the producers of Raiders, and Marcy Leeroff, casting director. And Steven starts asking me some questions, and he was, you know, looking for somebody that could maybe handle the bike a little better than the other actors, so he'd have to always cut away from them.
Right.
And then came this question. This role had already been cast, I had found out. And for some reason at the time, it was important to Steven that this character smoked cigarettes.
Well, that's how you knew the tough kids.
1981.
Like Kelly Leak and stuff. Like
you know,
a pack
right.
of cigarettes rolled up in the sleeve.
Now we wear a patch.
Yeah.
That's how all the tough around. Kids wear the patch. Right?
Yeah.
So he asked me how I, you know, felt about smoking a cigarette. So, of course, I'm 12, 13, and I pull out a rumpled pack of Marlboros, and I stick this cigarette in my mouth that does a direct 90-degree turn because it's broken in half, and I'm striking that match over, and I was like, all right, kid, you got the part. So that's how that went down.
Mm.
And I was in E.T., and at the time, again, I had no idea. I wasn't – my family weren't actors. You know, it was just kind of a, hey, take it while you can type of thing.
Were you out in Van Nuys?
Yeah, I was born in Van Nuys. Yeah.
It's crazy. Some North Hollywood – guy
from there
from there.
Yeah. That's incredible because there's not a lot of us.
No, it's kind of funny. Dr. Drew's from Pasadena. Mark Garagos, attorney's from La Crescenta.
Jimmy, where's he from?
Jimmy is from either Vegas or Brooklyn.
Okay. That's, we're not sure.
Well, he started in Brooklyn. He went to Vegas. He has dual citizenship. But I would say Brooklyn, Sheck. Would you say that?
I guess, yeah. He vibes to Brooklyn as his native land.
Yeah, but I grew up, I had friends in Van Nuys. Grandpa Al Lewis from the Munsters lived in Van Nuys.
Yeah.
As I spent a lot of time riding my little bike from.
It was a good
North
time.
Hollywood
it was it was it was cool to live in L.A. back then.
But you guys, if I can jump in between the two of you, you two have two very different life arcs. Adam is swinging a hammer, you know, as soon as he's finished with high school and up until he's about 30. You're a full-on A-list star, without exaggeration, by what, 15?
Well, you know.
I mean, you're like a Tiger Beat. You're like the
not by choice,
but I mean, you're in all those teen magazines that existed back in the day as the guy,
of course.
And you're like what, 15-ish years old, right?
That's right. That's right. Well, it was a different time back there because the magazines, that was our device. Everybody like clipped out pictures and hung them on their lockers.
Sure, but why aren't you sort of more messed up? We were talking earlier about what happens to one's brain.
I could be very messed up if you would like. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Please tell me more, Adam. I don't know the full.
I don't want to correct you. I'll tell you really. My father wouldn't have it. You know, as a kid, I didn't have a precious sort of mom managing me. You know, it was like. My father didn't give a shit. He was he didn't care who I was working for. When I came home, I had to go clean the stalls and stuff. And it wasn't about me being some fabulous actor. You know, he was like, I'll bust your ass. He didn't care. And I think there's something growing up in a rural aspect. I mean, I had chores. I had to feed horses and clean stalls.
Where in Van Nuys was
I was born in Van Nuys, but I was raised out in Canaan Canyon. Then we moved out to Valencia, Newhall.
Oh.
So my father was a professional cowboy. He rode bulls for 10 years for a living, and I was raised on a ranch, and I think that, you know, you talk about kids going in and auditioning for Francis Ford Coppola or Spielberg and feeling the pressure of that. It's like I was participating at rodeo at that time. I was like, man, I got to go ride a bull. This is nothing.
And so there was no gravity to you auditioning because it was a lark that you were in there in the first place,
and not in a way that I didn't appreciate it. It was just I had other shit I was doing, and I think. There was something attractive to that. I wasn't just lurking, hoping I got a job.
That energy probably came through to Spielberg and beyond, that you're not some
well, you know,
Hollywood
it is
kid,
now.
Right?
You go into a room, you tell somebody how much you love their script and you love to work with them, they throw a rock at you. But if you go in and you're like, look, I got another thing to do. Can we get this done real quick? They call you before you get back to your car, you know? So it's a strange thing. Whenever whenever you needed shit, nobody gave you anything. Now you get all the free stuff in the world. Come on.
This is a very good point.
You know what I mean?
When I needed shit, I got a mug with a broken handle.
That's it.
And it's like, this will last you 7 years, boy. Right. And now I have to sift through shit because there was a very delineated point when I was a kid. There was trash and there was stuff you kept. Now there's a third in-between zone, which is stuff from Amazon that's 4 years old that you're never going to use, but you cannot.
You don't want to get rid of it.
You cannot throw it away.
No.
It's something. It's I pulled a beanie out the other day that had Bluetooth speakers in the ears. Now, I would never, ever program it or use it while I'm jogging in the cold. But could you throw out a thing that would have been the most valuable thing you owned when you were 12? At our age, I can't throw it out. It's a piece of technology that's miraculous. If you had this thing in the medieval times, you would have run the kingdom would have looked to you. So what do I do with the beanie that's wildly uncomfortable because it's got these two hard plastic things in it? Can't wear it. Hurts my head. Never going to program
it. Put it in a drawer.
Can't throw it away. I could give it to somebody who will also never use it.
Yes.
And I think that's probably my new plan. And now I'm swimming in junk that I will never use.
It's like these celebrity gift bags that they want to give you.
Yes.
Is there ever anything in there that you would keep?
If you were a chick or gay, maybe you could use 30% of
okay.
it. Dudes who bust Broncos and write country yeah. songs about whiskey,
yeah.
there's nothing
yeah,
in that
I'm
basket.
With, thank you. Thank
Actually,
you.
The basket is probably the most usable part of that
you
whole thing.
Get some cheese and some wine.
Yes. Yeah, anything it. With cheese or wine.
Anything I can eat, I can take. Yeah, that's why I moved to Nashville. I just fit better there.
Yeah, I would say.
I do.
You. When did you move?
Well, I moved to Atlanta about 9 years ago when that push to Atlanta was going crazy. All the series were, they were doing like 60, 70 TV series in Atlanta to, mm-hmm. to maybe 30 in LA at the time, right?
Right.
So I was working in Atlanta all the time. And then COVID hit and I didn't want to get a degree in drinking on the other side of COVID. And we didn't know what the hell was going on. I said, picked up a guitar and I started doing that thing and fell in love with music. And I moved to Nashville and I'm doing that now full time.
I think we can listen to some of what you've been been doing.
I went through, I listened to the record, and it's the best way I can describe it is it's beautiful songs, great songs, but it's like a joyous celebration of misery.
Yeah.
It's so
somebody's dying in one of my songs, man, you know.
But this song grabbed me for a few reasons, which you'll hear, boss, but this one's called Hell of a Life. And just listen to this for a couple minutes.
Help save an alien when I was just 13. Shot down a helicopter yelling Wolverines. Recited Robert Frost staring at the sun. Held my ground at the devil's den with an empty gun. Smoked marijuana with Cheech Chong. Survived a plane crash in the Amazon. And Margaret made love to me on a tiger's tail. Spent a lifetime in prison hoping to make bail. It's a hell of a life, the one that I'm living. I gotta keep moving on, doing the best.
Wow,
that is a who's that song about?
Yeah, it can only be about.
Not too many people covering
one
that.
One man and one man only. Sheck and I met Patrick Swayze once, and I was with Sheck when I met him, and that was my only encounter with Swayze. You know Swayze.
I've had a strange connection with Patrick. You know, when I was 12, my father did a movie called Urban Cowboy. He was a stunt coordinator.
I remember that movie.
And Patrick's mother, Patsy, was the dance choreographer.
Oh, yeah.
And so I was hanging out on a set with Swayze a couple of years before we realized we'd, you know, do three pictures together. So we were tight before we started working together. So when The Outsiders came around, there was already a relationship there, a connection.
Well, we were sitting inside a restaurant. Swayze was out on the sidewalk.
It was your restaurant.
That was a restaurant that had part ownership. Yeah, and I think he was smoking a cigarette out on the thing, and we spotted him. And Sheck was like, "You got to go say hi to him because you're not going to recognize me, but maybe he'll recognize you."
Right.
So you lead the way, and we went out and spoke to him, and it was brief. He was a little bit curt, and probably had a lot on his mind at the time, I'm guessing, but it wasn't a gracious, warm welcome.
That which is unusual because he was a pretty warm guy, Texan, Southern guy, and pretty much wore his heart on his sleeve, pretty approachable, and you know, I got on with him really well. We did have one meltdown during the filming of Red Dawn, and he got a little bit miffed at me running around with Darren Dalton and Charlie Sheen. Mm-hmm. And he kind of made a point to where, you know, he didn't think the click was real appropriate for the movie. And so there was a big meeting called, and we got into a pretty big row over it. And Milia stepped in and basically told Patrick that he needed to shut it down. And it was
John Milius is directing Red Dawn.
Yeah, man.
Road Apocalypse Now.
Conan.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah. And was just such an epic storyteller. I mean, he wrote the best part of Jaws, you know.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. I mean, you know, when Robert Shaw's telling that story about
showing the scars.
Yeah, all the scar stuff. He wrote all that. And he was telling us great stories. And, you know, Milius is still – he was like the last of them. The John Fords, man, the Sam Peckinpahs, the ball-busting, gun-toting, you know, action-yelling – directors. And
did you have a sense? So it's Swayze. I mean, it always means good things if you find on the cable, you know, the scroll of movies. If you find a movie that has Swayze and Howell and Sheen in it, you're in for a good time.
Let's hope.
Right. Well, I'm telling you from personal experience, 100%. I know for a fact it'll be a good one for me. But Sheen, do you pick up like, boy, this guy's a wild card? Do you know that at 18?
You know what?
Is he the biggest cocksman of the gang?
Charlie, he definitely challenged the rest of us.
Because he doesn't play that. The characters that he plays, it's like he's a nice guy, like Swayze. He cracks the whip. He's the boss. And you're sort of like these. Your arc is always this guy who's like, he's genteel. But oh, no, he's.
He'll stab
you. The ugly underbelly of this kid. You
sure.
Know, has been
sure.
discovered now. But Sheen was always a nice kind of character.
Kind of, right? Until he did that that epic role in Bueller's, right?
Oh, yeah.
Right.
He played the hooligan.
Yeah, I thought he was great in that.
Yeah, he was fun.
He was dark and menacing, right?
Jennifer Grey's in that one, same as Red Dunn. It's the same, like, seven of you in every movie of the 80s.
Well, Jennifer and Patrick really didn't get along at all. Mm. So there was a love scene written between their two characters in Red Dawn.
Mm.
And Patrick was really against doing it. And for a few reasons. I think one, you know, he probably didn't get on with her too well. But also he was like, listen, we're running from Russians for our lives. We're going to stop here and screw under a tree real quick, right? Mm-hmm. So maybe this doesn't work. It was a big scene for her, five-page character development scene that she really wanted to do. And he kind of fought for shooting it down, which he ended up winning. So the two of them didn't really speak the rest of the show, which is, you know, another 3-4 weeks of filming. Could you imagine 2 years later, this little project, Dirty Dancing, comes around?
Oh,
she's cast first.
God.
She's cast first.
Oh, man.
They spend, you know, months and months looking for Johnny,
mm-hmm.
going to every city, and finally they call her up. I don't know. Congratulations, we found your partner. In fact, you've worked with him. He's your friend.
Oh, my
Patrick
God.
Patrick Swayze. Could you imagine the look on her
this
face?
This would be like if they said, we're going to do Dumb and Dumber 3. We want you to star in it, Adam Carolla, and Kevin Smith is your co-star. I'd be like,
there you go.
I hate that guy.
Well,
wow, I never thought about
that. Well,
that's
what happened. So, and that's just a testament. The point, the reason why I bring it up is because that film turned out so, I mean, that's the iconic American culture, you know,
mm-hmm.
Dirty Dancing. And that was Patrick. I mean, Patrick was capable of taking something bad and communicating and working through it and making it really great. And he was good at that.
Not to speak ill of the dead, but we had a little dust up on that sidewalk in front of
my
restaurant.
I hear you, man.
You went on to explain he was a super genteel guy.
You saw the picture.
I'm trying to figure out what the hell did you
then
do to him.
You went on to explain that he didn't get along with anyone on the set.
Yeah, so you feel okay.
I feel a little vindicated.
Yes.
All right, let's do a little bit of news.
Oh, sure.
Tommy has a hardish out, right? You got to be somewhere, so I thought we'd shoehorn
let's get this gang back together sooner rather than
I would
later.
Love it.
I have many hours worth of questions.
We want to invite you out to Nashville because I'm starting a gig out at City Winery, which we'll be doing in Nashville. It's a residency, and
oh really?
We'll give you some details, but we want to invite you out. And
I heard about it. There's stuff cooking. I'm very excited and flattered.
Good.
And I think I may bring a special musician with me, possibly.
Well, that's what we're doing. So we're bringing our friends out. We're playing music, and we, you know, it's a good time. And the thing that I love about it, Adam, is it's live, and we're not taping it. We're not filming it. If you're not there, you don't see the show. And it's old school. It's sort of a throwback to like the old variety shows, like Johnny Cash or John Denver, when they come out, play music, bring out their friends, and have a laugh and some skits and stuff. So we'll have to write a skit. Maybe we'll reenact some Red Dawn scenes or something, okay?
I am there.
Okay.
I am your
Swayze. We're down.
All right, Max Spada.
All right, well, Ben Stiller is in the news right now because for some reason the movie Tropic Thunder, people are tweeting about again. They're like, hey, we got to boycott Tropic Thunder,
well,
right?
You know, listen, Soul Man's the same.
Right, I was just going to say, because you were in Soul Man.
Yeah. Right.
But yeah. I don't catch hell from anybody except from cheeky little 13-year-old white girls.
I have brought that
That's the only people that bother me, these little cheeky little 13-year-old white girls, man.
Tropic Thunder, they're satirizing it. I have talked about Soul Man before. Like, talk about a movie that you would never be – if you pitched that for 22 seconds, people would be like, what the hell are you talking about?
We
can't make a movie like that. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah, wait, the kid is going to put himself in blackface to get into school? Like, get the hell out of here, man.
But you see, I think out of context, I would agree with that. But it's an anti-racist movie.
Oh, I agree. I'm just saying the pitch by itself would be a nonsense.
Well, that's what ends up happening. When you see a picture of me in blackface, these kids are like, what the hell is wrong with you, right? I said, did you see the movie? I said, no. I said, well, you know, it's a message movie. Well, it's an anti-racist movie. That's kind of funny.
You got Robert Downey Jr., obviously, in Tropic Thunder as well. So, but they're going after Ben because of Special Mike or whatever that character's name was.
Somebody tweeted Ben, please stop apologizing for doing this movie, because he thinks Ben's been apologizing. And Ben responded recently, I make no apologies for Tropic Thunder. Don't know who told you that. It's always been a controversial movie since when we opened. I'm proud of it and the work everyone did on it.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Problematic.
And Robert Downey Jr. in 2020, he defended his blackface, saying it's about how wrong blackface is, so I take exception. Right? It really is the intent.
That's the difference. You see, somebody says, why did you do blackface? I said, no, there was no mocking involved on my part. Blackface to me is when you're an asshole and, you know, you go to a party and you think it's funny and you mock people.
Yeah, people laugh
at you. That's what I did. But I was Mr. T. I pity the fool.
So you're an asshole. I just want to be clear right now.
No, I used to say all the time, because Jimmy would get crap for playing Carl Malone or Oprah or something.
Yeah,
I was like, that's not blackface. He's doing Carl Malone. Yeah. Blackface is minstrel show, generic make fun
of. Al Jolson?
Yes. This is you trying to impersonate somebody who happens to be black. It's not
blackface. Here's the thing, though. I think we're at a place where, no, we can't. If we're justifying shit, we're wrong. That's where we're at now.
Well, it's more sort of explaining. I don't like it when everything's an attack. If somebody, I think it happened to, oh God, what?
I don't like that this was 40 years ago and I have to talk about something I did when I was 18, right? But it's
probably
it's
more
so
now,
stupid.
Right? I mean, was it as controversial?
Hell no. Hell no. It's not even really controversial. Like I said, I don't catch heat from it from the press. I don't catch heat from it from, you know, people of ethnicity. If somebody, you know, if anything, they'll come up and say, hey, you know, I saw the movie and it made me laugh or it made me smile. And nobody really takes it personally.
So when you're
I know one person who did.
Yeah.
Spike Lee.
Oh, yeah. He hated it.
Oh.
But he never saw it.
Yeah. He was talking crap on it before it even came out.
Yeah.
Right?
He never saw it. He never saw it.
So when you're playing to a capacity crowd, like a honky-tonk in Nashville, they don't all just turn their back to you and protest silently
because
of Soul Man?
Not yet.
Okay.
Yeah, but we're open to it. You want to know? You know, I tell you, my shows are real interactive. I take a lot of questions. It's wide open.
Oh,
you
want
to yell crap up at me, man, I'll respond. And I'm wide open to it. I'm the one that brought up Soul Man to you guys. I'm not afraid to address that. Listen, here's my take on it. If you're offended by it, we apologize. That was not our intention. If you watch the film, you can see that's not our intention. And I think we're all at a place right now where, what the hell? Take a freaking joke, people.
I agree. I've slightly in twist. 1984, I portrayed in blackface Mr. T. And if you took offense to it, you can kiss my ass.
Well, there
that's
you go.
A little different twist.
There you go. So you feel bad about it. I
liked Mr. T. It's Halloween, and I got to do my best to look as much like Mr. T as I can.
Is that you?
I shaved my head.
Wow.
I got the chain.
Wow, man.
I grew a beard.
Wow.
This is a real job.
It's a commitment.
Wow. That is the A-team right there I'm looking at.
All right.
It is hard to explain to your kids,
though. I love
though.
This
like
show,
my 13-year-old boy, I say to Jean-Claude Van Damme-shek, like, he can dig up me making jokes that are wildly inappropriate, but only 10 years ago, it's really hard to make sense of, like, It was okay to say that in 2008. It is no longer okay. You will get in trouble for doing it. There's an ad going around. Peter Sellers in 1972, one of the all-time funniest people, doing an ad for, I forget what, for TWA or whatever, and he's doing it as an Italian, like a hardcore, like, look at this, and he's looking at the stewardess's bums and everything else. I'm like, oh, I mean, this is you would never be able to do. This is one of the comedic geniuses of the last century.
Sure.
But this was completely out of line and would, you know, be laughed out
of
the room.
Well, I feel much better having seen you dressed up as Mr. T.
Thank you.
Yeah, and if I ever catch hell, I'm just going to say, do you know what Adam Carolla did?
I slid right under the radar in 1984. All right, so what's going on there? He's fighting for this? He's apologizing for it?
He tweeted that he's not apologizing, although he has apologized for it before in 2018 because of the Shaun White thing. He wrote, actually, Tropic Thunder was boycotted 10 years – this is in 2018. Tropic Thunder was boycotted 10 years ago when it came out, and I apologized then. It always meant it was always meant to make fun of actors trying to do anything to win awards. I stand by my apology. The movie, Shaun White, and the great people and work of the Special Olympics, because Shaun White dressed up as Special Ed for
Simple Jack
for Halloween.
Yeah.
Oh, all right. Let's do one more.
All right. Well, we were talking about Aaron Rodgers and how CEOs are just super rich people can just do whatever they want. They do kind of weird things like the sensory deprivation tank. Not necessarily weird, but there's this guy, 90 years old. His name's Richard Lugner, and he hires women to go to the ball with him, celebrities. Mm-hmm. Like past guests to the ball were Pamela Anderson, mm-hmm. Kim Kardashian. He's hired to come with him as his date. Elle McPherson.
Which ball is this?
This is the Vienna Opera Ball.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's a legit ball.
He just pays him.
Yeah. So, he's a building tycoon from Austria. So now his next date, Jane Fonda.
Right on.
Mm. And Jane Fonda has accepted because she needs money to pay her bills and to support her grandchildren.
Jane Fonda?
She needs money?
That's what she said in a news conference. She needed the money to pay her bills and support her grandchildren.
Jeez, first off, I wish my grandmother had that kind of commitment to supporting me.
No doubt.
When I was a young Mr. T.
Right. You're flying halfway around the world and going on a date for you.
Yeah. Yes. Okay, so
she's
a couple
85.
Things. Wasn't she married to Ted
Turner?
Turner, yeah. Who's one of the like richest men, biggest landowners in America.
Her last name's Fonda. Her dad.
Yeah.
Come on.
Something
weird about needs money. She's but she is 85, super lucid and dynamite. If you hear her interview,
wait, that's Social Security check ain't covering.
Yes, listen, I hate her guts.
I know you do,
but she's super lucid and she's a crackpot. She's a total crackpot, but she's lucid and articulate. She's just a crackpot.
She seems like she has a nice sense of. Living life to the fullest and all
idiot.
That.
She's an idiot. But
the vets love her.
But the vets love her, especially the Vietnam vets. Okay. But she's doing it. She's just saying this because the thing about celebrities, look, we had Jason Alexander in here. When he turned 35, his friends just bought him Bill Shatner. So like, hey, Shatner, here's, $25,000 and go out to lunch with this guy. He's a huge fan of yours. You know what I mean? Like, celebrities will do it. It's a corporate gig.
Right, sure.
Essentially. And by the way, I don't look down my nose at it. If you're a blues traveler or you're Shatner or whoever, someone just offers you money and you go, I'll play that kid's party. Mm-hmm. She's just taking the money to do the party, which is fine. Just taking care of my grandkids makes it sort of weird justification.
Right. Like, we would have been fine if she would have just done it and we didn't know why.
Yeah, I like money.
We knew why.
Yeah. That's right. She likes money.
So there was a couple things about it. First, she told reporters she thought it, because it's the Vienna Opera Ball, she thought she was going to an opera.
Oh, the mini sausages?
Yeah, that's right.
Cuisine.
It was a sausage party.
Ben, look up her net worth. We should all take guesses, but I got to say it's 100 million plus. That's what I would
say. So one, she thought she was going to an opera. Two, she has one rule, no dancing.
What?
She won't dance.
That's a weird thing.
So she's going to the ball.
Yeah, she's going for sure. She'll be the plus
one. Well, that
one,
might
no
be
dancing.
A physical thing. She might be a little beat up there.
She said she has a fake shoulder, there two fake hips, and two fake knees.
What about the titties?
They're real.
That's a real question. Their cheeks don't look all the way natural either at this point. Who's been in – this is a legit question. I'm not trying to curry favor with you, or perhaps I am.
Okay.
Have you been in more – memorable movies. I don't know how we would describe it.
Right.
Iconic movies than Jane Fonda.
Oh, hell no.
I was thinking about Raquel Welch when she passed away.
Right.
I was thinking, is her most famous movie
2000 BC?
Shawshank Redemption. Oh. She's in it as a poster, but I think that's her most noteworthy movie.
Oh,
yeah. She didn't actually do any highly regarded movies. I think you maybe have been in more great movies than Jane Fonda. Think about that. How many human beings in the existence of people have been in more however we would describe that?
That just means I took a lot of shit I shouldn't
have
done.
No, that's not true. You've been in like legitimately five movies that anybody in the last half century
That are probably in your collection, right? You know, average, but they don't have that anymore. But a lot of people would say, like, you know, Red Dawn and probably The Outsiders.
Definitely The Outsiders, The Hitchhiker.
The Hitcher, right?
And, the Hitcher, I mean.
Yeah.
She's got on Golden Pond, I guess.
Right. She's in that Barbarella. Masterpiece. Yeah, she's in that masterpiece, 80 for Brady.
That may have put her over the top.
Yeah. Well, she needs to support her grandchildren, Dawson. Right.
I have one question for Adam and for you. I should call you Tommy?
Yeah.
I'd rather call you C.
Call me C.
No, I'll call you Tommy.
That works.
If Red Dawn, if that happened, if the Russians invaded right now.
It is happening.
But I mean, not like we're not seeing parachutes come down.
Okay.
Who would make it? Would you two like each other to be? Would you like to be in each other's company? I think among celebrity types, I think you guys would do nicely together.
Like, would you pick me for your foxhole or no?
You know how to ride horses. You could pass the time with the guitar. Yeah, Adam's good with a hammer and building stuff.
Yes, he can build shit.
Yeah. I would do to you what Swayze refused to do under that tree. That's number one.
We'd make love.
Number two,
yeah.
I didn't say it. I just leave it open.
Okay.
The next thing, and Sheck will back me up, I can pee anywhere.
Yes. You can hit that radiator?
I could hit that radiator. Mm-hmm. I could thread that needle if I needed to. But also just the general ability to kind of pee on the move and on demand under these circumstances.
Right.
They never cover it in a movie, but at some point you're going to take a piss. The Ruskies are coming up the hill. You're yelling, let's go, and he's yelling, your yelling is slowing this down. I got nervous bladder. I got to hang here. You know, and I'm peeing before the
dick
comes out.
Yeah, they never write those scenes.
They never watch
the thing we've talked about, because we love Red Dawn so much that Adam and I have done a commentary track. We've done a director's cut, but it's me and Adam.
Beautiful.
Talking over the 90-plus minutes of the glory.
I wish I was there for that.
I wish you would have been. Maybe we need to redo it.
Okay, good.
The answer to that.
Version 2. Good.
How does Darren Dalton's character get away and get the bug on him from the roost?
Without
anybody noticing he's gone.
Without us knowing, right? That's probably a really good question for John Milius.
Yeah. Yeah, I wish Swayze were here to answer. Like, he's the one who does what nobody else has the guts to do.
You guys probably recall the timeline better than me. No, I kill him.
He kills Darren Dalton.
Right.
Because Swayze can't do it. He cries.
And I say, I'll do it.
Should have let it turn.
I'll do it. And I rip him, and I just swing up on that horse and ride out of town. That's it, man.
All right, a good note to go out on, okay. I guess. The album American Storyteller.
Thank you very much, Adam.
That's Tommy's album. I'll see you in Nashville.
Yes, sir.
Sheck's earned himself a nice plug.
Avenge me! Avenge me, boys!
Mr. Lister, Tuesday.
Keep it down, old man.
Nights on Spotify.
No, not that.
Wait, before we
minus
go.
-3.
I'm three. All of us Wolverines, please.
All right, hold on. All right. Wait, let me get Sheck.
He's almost
done. What do you need in the plug?
-3 extra points. Don't call it a comeback. Those are my shows.
Don't call it a comeback.
All right. Me, Las Vegas, coming up at Kimmel's Club. That'll be March 9th. You can check that out. Go to AdamCarolla.com.
I'm just saying I'm available.
Come on down.
Just saying.
Go to AdamCarolla.com for all the live shows. All right. On the count of three.
We're doing Wolverines.
Yes, we are.
Yes, sir. I love you guys.
All right.
1, 2, 3.
Wolverines!
Yes.
Get yourself a copy of Adam's latest book, Everything Reminds Me of Something. It's available everywhere. Find our books are sold. Leave us a voicemail at 888-634-1744. Get your tickets to see the Ace Man at AdamCarolla.com.
all month long on Pluto TV. Stream the biggest Tyler Perry movies free. Watch your favorites like Madea's Witness Protection and Madea's Big Happy Family. Join Tyler Perry as he goes on a couples retreat with Sharon Leal in Why Did I Get Married? Or Idris Elba and Gabrielle Union in the Tyler Perry-directed film Daddy's Little Girls. Plus, Pluto TV has hundreds of channels with thousands more movies and TV shows available on live and on demand. Download the free Pluto TV app on all your favorite devices and start streaming now. Pluto TV. Drop in, watch free.